Good evening, everyone. We'd like to welcome you all to the January 15th meeting of the Board of Education, and I would ask our superintendent to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic in which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sorry, we're a little bit delayed returning to our regular meeting. Insofar as item number three is concerned, changes in the meeting agenda, there are two. We have replacement pages, item Q2, non-instructional personnel schedule B10, and then we have addendum item P1, approval of appointment of a law firm as special counsel. Okay. Now, turning to highlight of our meeting is student and staff recognition.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Connors, and good evening, everyone. It is my pleasure to introduce our Director of Music, Mr. Anthony Pallera.
Thank you. The New York State School Music Association, NISMA, is the largest, most successful affiliate of the National Association for Music Education in the United States. NISMA is a professional organization that evaluates student musicians in New York from elementary school to high school. Each spring, over 100,000 students register through their school music programs to attend NISMA evaluation festivals where they perform a prepared solo of music and are adjudicated. Students in high school use their NISMA scores along with teacher recommendations to apply for acceptance into one of the 8 all-state performance ensembles. This year alone, 7,000 students auditioned for all-state. 900 were accepted. These are the top student musicians in the state. I am proud to say that Three Village School District had one of the largest number of student musicians selected for this prestigious honor. This evening is not just a culmination of all the hard work and many hours of practicing on the part of the students or the incredible dedication of our teaching staff, but one that truly represents the commitment that the parents of Three Village provide for our program so this rich tradition can continue year after year. And if I could call up the high school teaching staff to help me out here. If you would please join me in congratulating David Futcher, Sherry Lamb, Jessica Leal. Come on up front. Grace Lynn. Molly Marino. Ava Williamson. Emily Zulo. Jordan Amato. Campbell DeMeo. Stephen Fontana, Olivia McBride, Ava McGovern, Megan Woods, Emily Busa, Eric Chung, Carson DeFreddy, Jonathan Huang, Christopher Moore, William Sun, and Amy Liu. I'd also like to recognize our high school teaching staff who's helping me right here, Linda Contino, who could not attend tonight. This is Jason Chapman, James Hine, and what's your name? Congratulations. Schools in the United States, and then there's all nationals, which is literally the entire country. 2,000 students from New York applied to all nationals through a rigorous audition process, and only 26 in the state were accepted, two of them from One Middle High School. These two exceptionally talented students represent the best in the country. It is truly an incredible achievement. Please welcome and congratulate Alexandra Ornishka and Gracie McCullough.
Thank you, Mr. Pallera, and to our talented music staff and our very talented students. We could not be more proud. Thank you. I'd now like to take a moment to introduce Ms. Jen Trettner. She's the coordinating chairperson of the art department.
Hi, good evening. I'd like to ask Ms. Baum and Ms. Solza to please come up. Ms. Baum is our yearbook, our Invictus yearbook advisor and co-advisor, Ms. Solzna. This year, they took the yearbook staff to Washington, D.C. for the Journalism Education Association National Scholastic Press Association High School Journalism Conference. And this conference runs a series of contests, which are called write-offs, and the students participate against other students across the United States. To get the big picture, there's more than 6,000 students from the United States and other countries who participate in this conference every year. So it's a pretty big, big event with some amazing competitions. So they competed in various competitions in categories such as writing, design, photography, and we won six student awards. So I'm going to ask the students to please come forward. Emily Schneider won Superior in Graphic Design for Advertising. Jessica Sung, honorable mention in Yearbook Copy Caption Academics. Actually, that's wrong. It was excellent newspaper layout. Annie Balaka, honorable mention in Yearbook Copy Caption Academics. Aiden Larson, honorable mention in News Magazine Layout. And unfortunately, the next two students could not make it tonight. Riley Wallers, honorable mention in Graphic Design Logo Design, and Carson DeFiti, honorable mention in Graphic Design Infographic. Now, it was announced on November 24th at the JEA Awards Ceremony that Emily Schneider's poster design was chosen by the Journalism Education Association to promote and represent the JEA Scholastic Journalism Week. This was a national competition in which all students from all over the country submitted designs that strove to represent the theme, Big Questions, Big Results. According to JEA, the Scholastic Journalism Week celebrates student journalists who ask important questions about the world around them and thoroughly and accurately convey solid reporting to benefit the audience in a big way. We are so proud of Emily for this national honor, and we brought her design for everyone to see tonight. Congratulations again, and we are very, very proud. I would now like to take a moment to introduce Dr. Marnie Kula. She is the coordinating chairperson of science and INSTAR at Ward Melville High School.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. Thanks for having us. I'm a little early this year. I usually come in February. So I am proud to introduce to you two of feedback. That hasn't happened at all. Oh, I bet you it's my zipper.
That was me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was you.
Sorry.
Where was I? Two of Ward Melville's finest in great company here with the music and art students. We have some science students. So, as you may or may not be aware, in Newsday recently, there were all of the pictures of all of the students on Long Island who were selected as part of the Regeneron Science Talent Search Scholars. The scholar is essentially a semi-finalist. This year's talent search was extremely competitive. There were over 2,000 entries from all over the United States, and 300 students of those initial 2,000 plus were selected to be scholars, meaning that their projects, their pre-college individual authentic research projects, have been chosen as the best in the country. We are now waiting to hear if they will be finalists, which will be coming out later this month in January. The students who are here with me today are Jordan Klein, and I'm going to have them stand up and come be nervous with me in front of everybody. So come on up, Jordan. And and Mariam Karashi is here as well. So if you could indulge me just for a second, I just want to let you know the amount of work that goes into students presenting an application for the Regeneron Science Talent Search. So not only do they survive their tour of duty in INSTAR for their 3 years with us, but they go off and they procure their own research mentors. And the competition to get research mentors on Long Island is getting steeper and steeper every year. It is just an amazing feat that our students are able to go out and present themselves in such a way that impresses scientists on Long Island, and these scientists welcome them into their labs to do amazing work. Jordan and Mariam being named for me personally is even more special because they both not only took on the rigors of science research, analyzing data, writing a manuscript, putting together an amazing application, which has a whole bunch of essays talking all about themselves and how they got to this moment in their lives, but they also had some personal calendar challenges this year. One of the things that people forget is that these fine people are seniors in high school and they are applying to colleges now while all of this is happening. The amount of work we do in the first quarter is unbelievable. I don't know when they sleep. Somehow they get it all done. At one point, I think both of us, all three of us, they're in two different sections of my class, but we would sit together and we'd kind of just hold our heads and I'd say, just stick it out. Just do it. Don't worry about the deadlines. Just put it together. You've come this far. Do not give up. And it has so paid off with both of these students. They would not be here today except for what they're made of themselves. This is all them. They did this all themselves. Their mentors were wonderful. But in this particular case, these two students really, really went the distance all because of who they are. So I'm very happy about that. So what did they do? You will be happy to know that this year you can readily see how these two individuals are contributing to the betterment of the human condition. Jordan did, and I'm going to have to now go to my notes just so I don't mess up. So Jordan was honored for his project that was titled Prevalence of Tick-Borne Diseases in Fire Island Deer Ticks. So here on Long Island, and many of us unfortunately have suffered from Lyme disease, he did an amazing survey study that basically backed up information that had been found before, but is also tracking what's changing about tick-borne pathogens as our climate changes and as tick-borne diseases become more prevalent. What he found was that ticks are now carrying more and more pathogens higher up into the latitudes of the higher latitudes of the Northeast. So something obviously that we can all imagine is extremely important. And Mariam did a social sciences study on the effect of sibling status of adolescents with autism spectrum disorder on symptom severity and social development. So she did a really elegant study that I think will be the first to start to inform parents, caretakers, teachers, people who come in close contact with people with autism spectrum disorder and learn how to best help these people become functioning citizens in our communities and to be able to really blossom into the people that they are meant to be. So two really, really beautiful projects that directly contribute to who we are and how we make the world better. So here they are, Jordan and Mary.
Thank you, Dr. Kula. Very impressive, Miriam and Jordan. We are very proud. We know that this is the highlight of our evening, but we also know that our high school students are up and the staff very, very early. So if at this point you choose to leave, we will not be insulted. You are certainly welcome to stay for the remainder of the meeting, but that is certainly up to you. So we'll give you a few minutes should you wish to leave. Thank you. And congratulations to all.
I'd like to turn to item 5, our first public participation session. This is up to 30 minutes in length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Riley Meckley.
Good evening. My name is Riley Meckley, and I am here today to express concerns pertaining to later start times district-wide. As a sophomore at Ward Melville High School, I certainly understand the importance of sleep on teenagers and how it impacts us physically and mentally. I do not deny the research and scientific data on adolescent health. It is definitely true. I have carefully read over the minutes and the reports from the December presentation. I have had many conversations with students and staff at the high school pertaining to start times, and I am here today to express their concerns. While getting an extra hour of sleep every night does sound appealing, you have to keep in mind that kids will still stay up late studying, watching Netflix, or scrolling through social media. As it stands now, when the day ends, high school students have from 2 to 3. This time is precious to everyone. If the end time changes to 2:55, this brings up major concerns. Allow me to explain. In regards to concerning sports, hundreds of students at Ward Melville High School participate in a high school sport. Many do multiple. According to my health teacher, she said that 1 out of every 3 high school students at Ward Melville participate in a school sport. As a varsity athlete myself, and knowing many other athletes, ending the school day at 2:55 would mean that we would have to leave ninth period early in order to arrive at an away game. During a season, this could be 2, maybe 3 times a week. I can only imagine the hassle it would be for teachers who have to deal with this. How would students make up their work? Would they be excused from tests? Who would give them their homework and inform them on their lesson? In addition to that, I can only imagine the hassle it would be and a headache for administration trying to deal with what teacher gets ninth period every year. Additionally, concerning clubs and co-curricular activities, they would suffer tremendously if we pursued the later start time. Personally, my highest priority is serving on the executive board with Sarah on student government. We meet 2 times a week directly after school. And thanks to the dedicated advisors of student government and all club advisors, we have the ability to meet with our club and follow our passions without sacrificing sports. Many students also hold after-school jobs. And with later start times, we would see a decrease in our club involvement, meaning that less high school students wouldn't get to go out and explore opportunities not offered in the classroom. Opportunities that often lead to finding a career path, meeting new friends, or becoming more involved in their community. As for the staff, we are all aware that many teachers have young children. The later start times make it hard for teachers to come home and get their kids off the bus. In addition, Our teachers and faculty are amazing. They stay after many times a week, advising their clubs and giving extra help.
Thank you. I'm sorry, your time is up.
Thank you.
Matt Raymond.
Good evening. Thank you for your time. It's the first Board of Ed meeting I've been to. Couldn't come last month when the main discussion was brought up about school start time, so I apologize due to work. I've spoken to over 40 people that have voted for the petition to sign that initially, but there was a lot of misrepresentation of facts that related to that. Three schools start earlier, when really, out of the 44 districts, including this one, not including the eastern five towns here, 41, one of them doesn't have a high school, which is East Mauritius. 41 of the 42 high school start times are all within 30 minutes of Ward Melville. And if you go into there, everyone keeps saying that Jericho is the number one. Jericho eliminated their special ed, they outsourced it, they cut their sports program down, they eliminated their football team, they cut a whole bunch to meet those start times. You go into whatever you want. You want to move sixth grade into the middle school, grade middle school. There are districts on Long Island now. West Hempstead just did it. Massapequa created a separate school for sixth grade. They're moving it back to elementary due to behavioral issues with having the sixth grade in middle school as opposed to elementary. There is an outrage of parents right now who didn't understand either what was being presented or didn't know. The silent majority, not the loud minority that was with this before. So I think the big thing that everyone's kind of asking for, everyone that I spoke to, is just... I'm not saying you guys aren't being transparent, because obviously it was posted on the website, so we greatly appreciate that. But everything else that goes forward, if you could be extremely transparent, because cost is a huge one, because we know cost is going up. There's no way it's not. People can try and spend any way they want. We have the highest taxes, and we enjoy that. That's why we move here. We don't mind paying those taxes, because of the service that's provided by the district. It's phenomenal. We don't want to lose services, and we definitely don't want to pay any more money. I know that for a fact. So I appreciate everything you guys are doing in this. And I'm sure it's about to get a lot more fierce in the coming months in regards to this, that people, more and more people are finding out about it. But, yeah, I mean, with everything, traffic studies and all that stuff, you try and go down Old Town Road at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're not getting down there. You know, I have three kids in elementary school. This may or may not affect them by the time this takes place, but it feels like there's a total lack of community in this. People are making this decision on their high school kids now because my kid needs it. You're not thinking about any of the young parents here. You do the 7:40 start, 1:55 p.m. Who's taking a second grader off the bus? Nobody's taking a second grader off the bus. A high school kid can go off the bus at 2 o'clock and stay home. You know, there's just a total lack, and it looks like it's something that's totally gonna, you know, screw younger parents that are either moving into this district or will be going forward. So I appreciate you guys' time up here. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. Justin Bryant.
I'd like to speak in agreement with the need for the school board to implement a later start time. This is an issue that has many profound health consequences.
Justin, just hold it up. Don't worry about it.
Many profound health consequences that have impacts that are far-reaching and personally debilitating. I think that based on the negative health implications alone, the school board would be short-sighted not to act. This is not a niche issue. Rather, an issue that has been thoroughly researched and analyzed from leading academic institutions. And moreover, it's going to happen eventually. Other states are implementing an 8:30 start time, so it's inevitable. I would like to raise tonight a second rationale for the school board to take into consideration. Many of the counterarguments are surrounded around cost, particularly the immediate cost to the district in terms of increased resource allocation vis-a-vis additional transportation spending, and the cost of increased after-school activities, whether in the form of accommodating athletics or increased after-school support programs. Now, I understand that a major concern that some parents have raised is the need for additional care. While I sympathize with that argument, I believe that the school board has not been innovative enough in mitigating and addressing some of these valid concerns. This leaves us at something of an impasse, the negative impacts of an early start time juxtaposed with the burden on parents and the school board to provide, school district to provide for these accommodations. Based on research by the RAND Corporation that was conducted in the past 2 years, the economic impact of making start times later to 8:30 is fairly profound. What they did is they did it on a national basis, but then they extrapolated it down to the state level. You're looking at an $83 billion increase in economic earning potential across the United States over 10 years. If you look at it for New York alone, that's $2 billion in 5 years, $5 billion in 10 years, and $9 billion in 10 years, and $9 billion in 15 years. Per student, that's $5,000 in 15 years that they're going to be earning additionally. I think to dismiss these economic benefits as minimal or speculative is not backed up by the relevant literature. I think, you know, that's $83 billion is a lot of money. So I think taking in some, we need to acknowledge the human cost on early start times, on young minds. I've endured the suffering, and it was terrible. I probably would have went to a better school, and I probably wouldn't be standing here tonight if I wasn't asleep for half the school day. Improved emotional states will improve family dynamics and lead to lower incidences of risk-taking behaviors and substance abuse. These are all laudable outcomes. And I think that these are things that the school district really needs to consider as they look at the evidence to support this decision. Thank you.
Thank you very much. District Clerk. Brian Latham.
Good evening. My name is Brian Latham, and my children are both students in Three Village. They have been happily attending Mount for the past few years. I first want to thank the superintendent for getting back to me quickly on an email that I sent to her. Both my children have enjoyed their experience, and part of the reason my wife and I chose to live in this district when we were choosing districts is because of the high school, junior high school model. We've always felt that that was a traditional reason and a big reason why we decided to live here. As an educator at a nearby district who teaches in a high school, I see on a day-to-day basis how ninth grade students can suffer when they are pushed up with upper division students too early. The transition to the high school can be very detrimental, and I can tell you from personal experience that we have more discipline referrals at that level than at any other level, consistently. In addition, having elementary school students stay in the school through sixth grade is an important part of providing a nurturing environment for students at that level. We all know that once a student moves to middle school, all of the trials of middle school accompany it as well. The longer we can delay that for our children, the better off they are developmentally. Our job as a community is not to think about how well-adjusted honors level students would handle this type of shift. We need to consider ESL students, IEP students, 504 students, immature students, and students with unstable home lives. Forcing them to move to a higher class level earlier is not in their best interest. European students consistently score above American students from grades 6 to 8. K to 5 were equal, but 6 to 8, they end up outperforming us. And what recent research has been provided by the University of Michigan is that part of the reason that they do better is because they have a K to 8 model. And by shifting students up from the 6th grade to the middle school, we're moving further from that model, which will continue to hamper our students. I'm not opposed to changes at the high school, knowing the benefits of a later start time, being that I see my students every day struggling with that. But we have to remember that the school causes a lot of problems to students leaving class early in the high school for after-school activities, and I would hope that after-school activities and extracurricular activities are not the focus of what we're doing here. I know from the proposals that are out there on the school board website that the options allow us, in some instances, to maintain a traditional school setup while moving the start time for the high school students. I would strongly urge you to use that option, even if it requires us to increase tax revenue, which of course I'll partially be paying, or cut from other expenses. And no matter what, this is going to throw major upheaval in the district, and I hope that we can minimize the shift in teaching staff and students during this time by keeping our junior high and high school split and keeping our sixth grade in the elementary. Let's keep the structure that makes this district one to be admired around Long Island. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Okay. Seeing none, I'd like to turn to item 6, the minutes of December 11th, 2019. Do I have a motion to accept those minutes?
So moved.
Mrs. Gish, Mr. Vizzo, all in favor, opposed, abstention, the minutes. Dr. Kerman abstained. Minutes are approved. Turning to 7 reports, our student representative report.
Next week, students are going into school for midterms and final exams. The bus schedule is on the website in addition to the exam schedule. Last week, a professional actor, Larry Saperstein, from the show High School Musical, The Musical, The Series, came in and answered questions about the acting industry, and this was hosted by Keepa. On February 6th, student government is holding its fifth annual Cooking for a Cause at 2:30 to 4 in the cafeteria. All the money raised this year is going to Ward Melville alumnus Joe LaRosa and his family in his fight against cancer. He was diagnosed in 2017 with a very rare form of cancer found in young males. On February 7th, in the auditorium at 7 p.m., Trium is having their Ward Melville High School Got Talent fundraiser. Tickets are being sold for $5, and auditions and sign-ups are being held. Lastly, this Sunday, January 19th at 8:30 a.m. in the gym, Striker Day Fishing Expo is being hosted by Surf Casters Journal.
Okay, thank you very much. Mrs. Pettisich.
Thank you. It is my pleasure to introduce Dr. Natalie Lillebois, who is the Director of Elementary Curriculum, who is going to do a presentation on our pre-kindergarten program and enrichment component.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to introduce you to the Ward Melville class of 2033. Do it from here. So tonight's presentation is on our new Three Village pre-kindergarten program, which includes our enrichment program. Before you, you see our, in the background is the Patriot Engineering Team, and this elite group of experts has determined that each of our playgrounds really ought to have a bridge. So for those of you who are interested in data, let's take a look at 2019-2020. The program reached capacity and had a waiting list well into the fall. We weren't able to accommodate all the applicants. Our program has 201 students across 5 elementary buildings, which translates to 10 pre-K and 10 enrichment classes across the district, 2 of each per building. Our 4-year-old population consists of 95 young inventors in the enrichment program. This represents the full-day group, and 106 half-day brilliant scholars, which indicates that 16 more families chose a half-day option over a full-day option. The ratio of girls to boys is 90 to 111, which means we have 21 more gentlemen, which is equivalent to about a full class. As an aside, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to attend the Diet of Adulation workshop. Obviously, it's either a plus, or if you don't like that, you can always look at the one on the right, and that's the traditional old-school version. Here you can see our young inventors who are part of research and development team. The mission of the Three Village Pre-Kindergarten Program is to provide a child-centered curriculum that promotes the intellectual, creative, social, emotional, and physical growth and development of our students and inspires lifelong commitment to learning. Our priority is to foster a safe, nurturing learning environment that allows children to explore interests, develop positive social relationships, and engage in developmentally appropriate activities that will meet the needs of all of our learners. All of this is to provide a strong foundation for academic success. I just want to point out the design team in the background, hard at work on their next project. How do we accomplish our mission? Through our commitment to working collaboratively with families and the community to provide our students with a strong foundation for academic success that is part of the tradition of Three Village. Both programs share the same core skills shown in the left column and address the different disciplines in the right column. So what's the difference between pre-K program and the enrichment program? Are the enrichment students just repeating the same activities they've already done in their pre-K class? I'm glad you asked. The pre-K program by design is meant to provide foundational skills for academic success and expose our youngest learners to school experiences that they will have as they become our kindergartners and throughout their educational career in Three Village. The pre-K curriculum is aligned with the New York State pre-K standards, which is part of a continuum of expectations for what students should know and be able to do at each grade level. It has a scope and sequence based on monthly themes. Our enrichment program is based on the Invention Playground curriculum. It is a set of four independent units designed to introduce students to foundational STEM concepts through interactive games and guided play. The program focuses on hands-on learning that encourages children to build inventions and explore the world around them. It is the nation's only pre-K enrichment program inspired by our National Inventors Hall of Fame inductees. The program includes all the materials necessary to carry out the activities that are part of the curriculum. So currently, the students have completed their first unit, Shake, Rattle, and Roll. They planned and conducted investigations to provide evidence that sound is produced by vibrating materials. This is part of the New York State Science Standards pre-K physical science curriculum. So they're already beginning at the very early stages to meet some of these goals. Even as four-year-olds, you know, this program actually allows them to meet some of the precursors to what they'll be doing as they move up into science. So they'll be, you know, with Marnie eventually, and they'll be bringing you back these wonderful awards. So those are some of the things that they learned in that unit. The current unit that they're working on is really exploring physics, experimenting with color, building and testing designs, and discussing nutritious foods. And the remaining two units are Mystery Present and Zoom, where innovation begins. Mystery Present explores the properties of buoyancy, circuitry, and the science of bubbles. And Zoom explores the ocean as well as different careers, such as chemist, veterinarian, architect, and rocket science. This is a typical enrichment classroom where the students explore, discuss, share ideas, and think out loud. Then they are given a specific task or problem to solve in the form of an open-ended question. As designers, scientists, and creative thinkers, they engage in activities that allow them multiple attempts and multiple possible right answers. It's a lot of fun to play with all the enrichment materials that we've been using. So next I want to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk about the domains of learning and show you some photographs from the different classrooms. All five buildings are represented in the pictures. So New York State, the pre-K learning standards changed just this past year. So one of the things we did right away was to offer professional development for the teachers so that they'd be aware of what those changes are and how to implement them in their classroom. So domain one talks about approaches to learning. And clearly it's play-based. You can see sometimes they're working with materials manipulative such as clay, or cotton or paint. They're doing color mixing and starting to learn some of those skills very early. Domain two is physical development and health, which is basically your health and physical ed that we have at throughout the rest of their career here. So they'll be doing certain things that are focused more specifically on fitness and health, but they also participate in the playgrounds that were built just for this purpose. So they have smaller playgrounds with appropriate equipment for them that are fenced in so that there's nobody eloping. And this is what it looks like. Domain three encompasses their social and emotional learning, which is focused on their self-awareness, management skills, working with others, etc. You can see that in most of the pictures that I've shown you already, but here are some others that also deal with either working independently, becoming self-aware, or working with other materials as part of a team. Domain four is basically your ELA, communication, language, and literacy domain. You'll see that the teachers provide foundations. They start foundations in pre-K so that they do have the very beginnings of the early literacy that we do for our kindergartners. So it's really setting them up for success in kindergarten by giving them the opportunity to be in a school setting. Sometimes we ask them to substitute because we can be short. So the boy on the left is willing to substitute whenever possible. So we're looking at a new model. If four is okay, we can put him to work and he can cover anytime teachers are missing. Domain five is all of your disciplines. So the mathematics, the science, etc. So you have seen some of the pictures already show that they're working on math and letters and things like that. It also talks about makerspace, so that they're creating things and they're really using their imagination in order to build things and talk about how components come together to make a whole. Okay, it includes your social studies. The little boy on the right is learning the economic systems. And then you also have this domain also covers the arts, so dance, media art, music, theater, visual arts, and technology, computer science, and digital literacy. So it's a big one. Let's see if I can get this to work. So that is a group of students doing a brain break, which is really literally taking a break from what they're doing during the day to kind of just have some fun, listen to music that they love. That's a most requested song in that particular classroom. It's Jack Hartman. He has a YouTube channel, and he does all sorts of music that also teaches them numbers and letters and other things in addition to this particular song that they like. Oops, sorry. Okay, there is some of your art, color mixing, and finger painting. The class on the right is being offered as a possible elective in the future, interpretive dance. And we're moving on to this year. So this chart represents everything that's ready for this year. So this past Monday, the applications became available. We already have about 20 applications that have come in since then. They're due back on the 24th. The open house will be on March 17th, and the registration and tuition for the enrichment program are due on April 29th. Should there be a need to, we will have the lottery on February 26th, and the parents will be notified of placement on the 28th. This is the website page. So the website has all this information. Everything was updated on Monday, so the parents are well aware. And when they call, they're given this information by everyone in the main office. The brochure has also been updated. And as you can see, we work really hard to make sure the kids get to participate in the broader life of the elementary school. So here they are. When the fire trucks come, they also participate in that. When they're at theater showings in the different auditoriums, we try to see if it would fit to their schedule. So they have a sense of their school as a bigger place, so they're part of that community as well. We talk about play. We take play very seriously in pre-K. And Fred Rogers said it best, when we treat children's play as seriously as it deserves, we are helping them feel the joy that's to be found in the creative spirit. It's the thing we play with and the people who help us play that make a great difference in our lives. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments, Dr. Lumpur? I just want to mention my youngest grandson is in the pre-K and enrichment program at Nassau-Keag. And not only is he happy, his parents are happy, and I can tell you his grandparents are happy.
It's a wonderful program.
Both programs are just absolutely wonderful.
I think we have some of our teachers here. The teachers, and would you please stand so they'd be recognized? You're doing a fabulous job. Thank you for being here tonight with us.
Thank you very much. Turning to item 8, items for board discussion, I just wanted to say a few words. A number of people have commented about the letter that we wrote regarding the HPV vaccination and our stand against it. And they said, why don't you get involved in vaccinations and some other political issues and so forth? You know, we're not going to go that route. And we normally don't get involved in political issues. We try not to. But insofar as the HPV vaccination, we felt very strongly, and other districts have done the same thing, because it really involves physical sexual contact. And to require a preschool child or school, a child starting school to have the HPV vaccination seemed like, to many of us, administrative overreach and so forth, and is inappropriate. But normally we don't get involved in political things, but we felt very, very strongly about this. Any comments from my colleagues about that? Okay, good, thank you. Okay, turning to item 9, items for board action, D, review of the district plan for school-based planning and shared decision.
Yes, we're required to review our shared decision plan every 2 years by having representatives of all the shared decision-making committees in all of the buildings. That means teachers, students, parents, and administrators come together. This form has to be sent to the State Education Department after board approval this evening.
May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, Mr. Germano? Any discussion? My colleagues. All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? It is passed. E, the appointment of construction manager, Mr. Carlson?
This is to appoint school construction consultants as construction manager for our district-wide door lock replacement project. The pricing, they've provided construction management services for a number of years. We're very happy with them. And the pricing is in accordance with the BOCES Shared Services Agreement.
Okay. Dr. Kerman, Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? The motion is passed. Turning to F, authorized refunding of certain outstanding serial bonds.
We have the opportunity to refinance one of our outstanding bonds to take advantage of lower interest rates. It's become callable. So the estimated savings over the next 4 years in reduced interest is approximately $340,000.
I knew you'd do that, Dr. Kerman. Second, Mr. Cornridge, any discussion? There shouldn't be any discussion on that if we're saving $340,000. All in favor? Opposed? abstention motion is passed. Turning to G, the approval of a contract with outside service provider for special educational tutoring services.
First one is tutoring. This is an amendment for tutoring services. The next one, if you'd like to take the two combined.
G and H?
They're both
sure.
Special ed services.
G and H, yep. Very good. G and H, do I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Ms. Germano. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to I, declaration of surplus equipment.
We have some equipment as listed, some office equipment, some old technology tools, and a list of library books. They did weeding in the libraries. It's about 3,600 titles, or separate books. I shouldn't say separate titles, separate books. I have a list. Instead of giving everybody the list, which is a number of pages long, I have it if anyone would like to see.
IBM typewriter. When is the last time we've seen an IBM typewriter?
And we are going to make sure that if we can get anything for it, or if an auction site, we'll do that.
Very good. Good. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, Ms. Germano, second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you.
Okay, with the board's approval, I'd like to recommend that we handle items J through O. These have been reviewed by the audit committee. These are routine presentations. Mr. Kornreich, second. Mr. Vizzo, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to P, the approval of an administrative intern at Murphy Junior High School.
Yes, this is just standard procedure that we create a resolution to approve somebody doing an administrative internship.
Okay. Very good. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Kornreich, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And this is the addendum that I had mentioned before, item P1, approval of appointment of a law firm as special counsel.
We have a moment.
Dr. Kerman, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning to Q1, personnel matters, instructional. May I have a motion on that, please? Mr. Vizzo, second. Mrs. Gish, any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Get that? Okay. And turning to item Q2, non-instructional personnel. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Germano, second. Mrs. Gish, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. Turning now to R, the recommendations of the Committee on Special Education Subcommittee and Accommodation 504 plan for the meeting dates stated. May I have a motion on that, please? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Vizzo, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. And lastly, turning to item S, the recommendations of the Committee on Preschool Special Education for the meeting dates stated. Mr. Kornreich, second. Mr. Vizzo, all in favor? Opposed? Abstention? Motion passes. I'd like to turn now to our second public participation. This can last up to 30 minutes of length, and we ask each individual to limit his or her comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone who would like to address the board at this time? Yes, sir.
Okay. So, David McKinnon.
Yes.
So schools have two core missions, to educate the students and to protect their health. Later school start times advance both those missions. Every other activity of the school is secondary to those missions. We heard multiple arguments about those secondary activities, but they should not detract from the core role of the school, which is to educate to the best of the ability of the school and the pupils, and to protect their health. The one argument we heard that was relevant to this core mission was changing the grades from moving six up to middle school, moving the 10 up to the high school. That argument was based on one study trying to compare European schools to American schools. There are a vast number of differences between how the Europeans educate their children and their attitudes towards education compared to America. To try and extract out one variable that accounts for all those differences strikes me as very unconvincing. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Seeing none. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Children, 4 and 7, both in the district, and I don't know if everyone can hear me on this. I am also one of the parents that signed the petition that would like a committee to be formed, that we would like the start times to be moved, be more in line with the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation. I would like to see the school system stay the way it is in terms of where the grades are. But I'd also like to state that as a parent of younger children, I do not feel misrepresented by the group of parents that came forward and wanted later school times for the high school. I also feel my needs are being met, my kids' needs are being met with the support of our community, who want all children to be in school later, not one group at the cost of the other. Because as an elementary parent, I know that I will be the middle school or junior high parent soon enough. I'll be the high school parent soon enough. And I don't think our district would ever sacrifice one group's health for another. I know that we all feel our kids' health and safety is important in the schools. So I just want to further announce my support that I like the idea of moving these times to a later start time. But I really do not support the idea of moving elementary or junior high any earlier than 8:30 a.m. But thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to? Oh, yes.
So I spoke about this previously, and I was reading online that a committee may be formed to, you know, offer their insight on whether they should increase or decrease start times. I just want to ask, where is this committee and how do we sign up? Because I would like to be a student on there.
It has been established already. Ms. Pedisich will discuss it.
Thank you, Riley. The committee has been established in line with, in accordance with contractual obligations, as well as previous ways in which we've established committees in this district, which is by talking to our union leadership and also our PTAs. There are 10 administrators on the committee district-wide. There are 10 staff members, teachers, district-wide. There are 10 parents district-wide, representing various different groups. And there are 3 students from Ward Melville High School. They are student government presidents, one being our own Sarah here, and for each of the grade levels. So that is the committee. It is an advisory committee. I just want to make it very clear that the committee is not making, they will make recommendations at the end for the Board of Education, and we will be seeking from a broader range of people focus groups that will involve students, staff, and parents district-wide that will give more opportunity for input, as well as surveys that will be going out from the committee. In addition, we're established a link on the district website, so minutes will be taken of all the committee meetings, and that information will then be shared with the community so there is transparency and that the community can follow along with all of the discussions that are happening from the committee. But it is an opportunity for the committee to break into smaller groups to do research because there is no decision made, and I want to make that abundantly clear here. Mm-hmm. The options that were presented by myself and Deputy Carlson, Deputy Superintendent Carlson, were options. Those are not all of the options that could possibly come out of the committee. There may be more. And so we want to do what's best for our entire school community, for students in grades K through 12. And we understand that there are challenges that are fiscal challenges, that are transportation challenges, that are educational challenges that each of these options that we put forward may have. And that's why the committee needs to take the time, because our students deserve that from us, and our community deserves that. So we will take the time that is necessary to really research this issue and whatever recommendation will be made to the Board of Education. But there is no time frame at this point, and that is something that the committee will need to look at very carefully.
I have no doubt that you guys are putting your full efforts into, you know, making a best decision for all students district-wide. I have no doubt about that. However, I didn't catch, is the committee still open for new members? Because I also know
No, it's 30. It's 35 people on the committee.
Okay, so it's...
No, the committee is already established. And unless somebody does withdraw from the committee, then we would seek someone else. But the committee has been established, and all, not including Mr. Carlson and myself, there are 33 members of the committee, all have agreed to participate.
Okay, thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to address the board at this time? Yeah, she's very good. She's very good. Seeing none, do I have a motion for adjournment? Mrs. Gish, second. Mr. Vizzo. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for coming.